Pad up. It's the Australian Cricket Podcast. And here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Australian Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Menas. And this is the first of two episodes this week previewing the upcoming Test Series versus Sri Lanka. And we have a very special guest for the first episode this week. Joining us from Colombo is the eminent cricket journalist, Andrew Fernando. How are you, Andrew?
Good, man. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast. You're an expert on Sri Lankan cricket, and that's exactly why we've got you on, because the Aussies are over there. They've got three tests, 5 one-day internationals, and two T20 games. How's the public? What's the excitement level in the public with the public in Sri Lanka?
Sri Lankans are actually quite a fickle sort of sporting breed of fans. They do get behind the team in a big way when they're winning, but because the team has had quite a poor run over the last year or so, the interest definitely has waned a little bit. That's not to say that there's not a sort of love of the game bubbling underneath, but I'm not sure we'll see packed stands and a lot of hype around this particular tour just because people have sort of begun switching off, a little while ago. I think though, if Sri Lanka do manage to win one of the tests, maybe make a mark in the one day as towards the back end of the tour, we could get some hype around the team again. But I think it's very much performance dependent at the moment.
Well, that's a shame. I would have thought that the Sri Lankan public would have been excited to have, one of the best outfits going around at the moment, touring there for such an extensive tour. Usually we get these sort of whistle-stop tours of two tests and they're over before you know it. But this is actual proper tour, so it's good for everyone in Sri Lanka to have a lot of good cricket.
Yeah, it is, but they're not. I just think they're just not confident that the cricket will be good. I think there's no doubt that Australia will be a very, very good team, and that they, from their side, there'll be a lot of quality cricket on display. It's just whether Sri Lanka are up to providing them that competition to make, tests go into that fifth day and have an interesting finish. Whether Sri Lanka will be able to compete with them in terms of putting up good enough totals in the one-dayers, that's probably where the Sri Lankan public is a little bit sort of unsure about. I think we'll definitely get the hardcore cricket fans to the grounds to watch guys like Stark, to watch batsmen like Khawaja and Smith.
The Australian team is not known for its proficiency on playing on turning tracks. Do you think the groundsmen in Sri Lanka will be instructed by the board to just take all the grass off the wickets and prepare rank turners to expose any weakness for the Aussies?
I think that's probably a good bet. Generally here, it depends on the surface. I think Sri Lankan pitches have changed over the last 10 years or so. Gaul's pretty much stayed the same. It's still, reasonably flat on the first and first one and a half days, and then turns into a spin bowler's paradise, which I hope they don't mess with that and they leave it exactly as it is, because it's a very, very fun place to watch cricket when the ball starts turning. In terms of Palikale and the SSC, Palikale is the most seam-friendly pitch probably in the country. And they're beginning their test series there. So last time Sri Lanka played there, they actually played three seamers, as did Pakistan. So that's something you don't often see. You don't often see two subcontinent teams play just one specialist spinner on an Asian surface.
Well, that could play right into the Aussies' hands if in Palikele they leave a bit of grass on the wicket and Hazelwood and Stark can come into the game early.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think they'll probably try to produce the most spin-friendly wicket that is possible at that venue, which still won't be as spin-friendly as, say, in Gaul or Colombo. But they'll still, I think a few of the Sri Lankan players are a little bit disappointed that the series is starting in Palikale for that reason. The reason it's starting there rather than in Gaul, which is where they usually start, is because of things around city planning, and there's a big festival going on there in Kandy in August, and they wanted to get the test match out of the way. But that could be the big test for the Sri Lankan batsmen. If they can get through that test, then they'll come into Gaul and into Colombo with a lot more confidence than they would be having at the start of the series. If they can get through Stark and Hazelwood and Mitchell Marsh, maybe depending on whether Bird will play. If they can handle those seamers there, then they'll be sort of well set up for the rest of the series.
Now, there's been some controversy in the podcast. Alan Donald was appointed as the bowling coach for Australia for this tour. And on his first day in the job, he stated that he thought reverse swing was going to be very important for this test series. Now, one of our panelists, Gav Joshi, was livid at this comment and went at Donald on his first day at the job and said that in Sri Lanka, tests are not determined by reverse swing. Now, Andrew, where do you sit? Are you with Alan Donald or Gav Joshi? Will reverse swing play a part in this series?
No, a reverse swing does play a decent part, depending on the ground. So in Gaul, reverse swing can be big. Actually, South Africa used reverse swing to quite to excellent use a couple of years ago when they were here. I think it was 2014 when they were here to win a test in Gaul. And for a non-Asian team to win a test in Gaul is quite a significant thing because it is, as I said, such a spin bowler's paradise. And on that occasion, it was reverse swing that did it. Dale Steyn, I think, in both innings, got the ball going the other way. You might remember that was also the test in which Vernon Philander was fingered for ball tampering, was caught for ball tampering. So that was obviously a plan that South Africa had going into that test. And I believe Alan Donald was the bowling coach there. So that may have been the source of why he felt reverse swing was such a big factor. I think also in the next test that South Africa played in Colombo, that reverse swing did turn up there as well at the SSC. But for sure in Gaul, reverse swing is a factor, and I think Stark is someone to watch out for on that venue. Reverse swing does play a role. I wouldn't say it's as huge as it is in pitches in the UAE or in Pakistan and India, in some pitches in India, but it does swing here. There's a bit more conventional swing in Sri Lanka, though, than in either of those venues, I think. And also Sri Lankan pitches tend to have a little bit more bounce depending on how they're prepared. I think Palekele will be probably the biggest exponent on that. I was at the practice match yesterday between Australians and the Sri Lankan 11, and there was a lot of bounce on that Pisara surface as well. I think Donald was probably justified in making those calls, but I wouldn't put all their eggs in the reverse swing basket. There is still a lot of conventional swing to be exploited.
Well, you're very diplomatic, Andrew. I would say you're slightly leaning towards Gav's assessment that reverse swing shouldn't play a huge role in this test series. It'll be more spin, bounce, seam, the new ball, perhaps. So let's get on to your team now, the Sri Lankan team. They've had an absolutely diabolical tour of England. It probably couldn't have gone any worse. You lost almost every game. You came back with the fast bowlers injured. What sort of state is the team in? Can it lift itself out of this mire?
I think it's not looking particularly promising because there's been so many injuries to the fast bowlers. And so at the moment, they're missing Dhammika Prasad and Dushmanta Chamira, virtually being ruled out of the tour, who are their two best quicks from the last year. Then you've got another guy called Suranga Lakmal, who's under a major injury cloud, which leaves. And then if you remember, Shaminda Aranga, another seamer, was suspended for an illegal action just a few weeks ago. So with four of those guys out, they're left with Nuan Pradeep, And they're having to bring a fast bowler from the Sri Lanka A team who's currently touring in England. So that puts an immense amount of pressure on a guy, someone like Ranga Nehera, to take a lot of the wickets because he knows he's not going to have the seam bowling support that he should have. And Sri Lanka also struggling with injuries in the spin department. A young leg spinner called Jeffrey van der Say. They were looking at giving him a test debut through this mid-year season, and he's injured a finger and has been unable to bowl. So I think on the bowling side of things are looking a little bit bleak just because of the slew of injuries that Sri Lanka have had.
Now, what's the gap between the fast bowlers that are injured and then the ones coming through at an A level? Because in Australia, we're fortunate that the gap between the best fast bowlers and the rest is not that big. But what's the gap like in the Sri Lankan side?
I think we can assume it's going to be pretty substantial. One of the guys who's playing, Vishwa Fernando, one of the guys who's been flown back from the A team. Vishwa Fernando, left armer, can be a little bit erratic, has a little bit of pace. But doesn't have the control and all the skills in terms of moving the ball in both directions that the top seamers would have been working on. I think it's Sri Lankan pitches and the Sri Lankan domestic cricket is not well geared towards fast bowlers. I think in our last domestic first class season, only one out of the top 15 bowlers were seam bowlers. In terms of the top 15 wicket takers, there was just one seam bowler. And when you have a domestic system like that, obviously that's going to eat into your that's not the good conditions for seam bowlers to come through.
I would suggest that they prepare rank turners, because Australia's top order at the moment is in such good form. They'll just feed on some average medium paces if that's what is presented.
Yeah, and what could be an option, though, is they shouldn't be afraid to take the three spinners option. I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures, because you have someone like Angelo Matthews who can keep things tight at the top of the innings. He's not going to be a huge wicket-taking threat in Sri Lanka. So if you play Nuwan Pradeep, Angelo Matthews, and three spinners, that could be an option for Sri Lanka. I don't think they'll do that in Palakkale, but in Gaul, certainly that could be something that they could look at.
What about this young spinner, Thurindu Kushal, who was banned, I think, for a dodgy action? He's an off-spinner. He's played a few tests for Sri Lanka. Could we see him this series?
He hasn't been banned. He's just had a Dusra ban, so the Dusra suspended. Basically, he had a half-decent start to cricket last year, and he was tested for his Dusra, and interestingly, only half his Dusras were above that illegal mark, so he's right on the line of being able to get that cleared. I think he's quite confident that with a little bit of remedial work, he can get the Dusra cleared. He's a wrist spinning off spinner, a bit like Murali. He doesn't use his fingers to impart much of the spin. He uses a snap of the wrists, which a lot of coaches think that if you're going to bowl the Dusra legally, that is the way that you can do it. I don't think you'll see him in this series so much, because he's still working on so many of those things. He's just added a couple of other balls to his repertoire, top spinner and one that sort of goes off the seam. I don't think the selectors are looking at him at the moment, because they haven't picked him. You know, if they were looking at him, they would have picked him in the team to play against the Australians. And I think you're more likely to see someone like Dilruan Pereira, who's a very much an orthodox off spinner, virtually a mirror image of Ranganathan. And he's probably going to be the go-to second spinner in the series.
And do you have a wrist spinner?
There is a wrist spinner that I believe is they're looking at, who's playing in the A team at the moment. He's a guy called Lakshan Sandakan. He is a Chinaman wrist spinner, a bit like Brad Hogg, but more geared towards longer formats. He has been among the wickets quite a few times in the domestic series, but he's also maybe considered a little bit too raw. Maybe he doesn't quite have the control, but he's definitely someone that Sri Lanka will look at to be in the squad, if not give a debut in this series.
Now, Andrew, I listened to your recent podcast, The Armchair Critics, excellent podcast on Sri Lankan cricket that's with you. And what's your friend's name again?
With Dumit, yeah.
Dumit, yep. Excellent podcast. In that last show, you both had some question marks about Angelo Matthews' captaincy on the tour of England. What are your thoughts about his captaincy? You said he seemed to show a lack of faith in his bowlers. Where's that going for the team?
I think the issue with Angelo Matthews is that we all wish he could captain the way he bats. If his batting can sometimes be incredibly, you know, sort of out of this world good. I think in 2014 he had quite an incredible year where he was just able to feel the pulse of the innings, and sometimes he dead batted, which was exactly what was needed at the time. At other times he attacked bowlers out of so that they were not an option for the opposition captain. He was just so strategically intelligent with the bat. when he's in the field, he seems to lose all of that. He's when things are going well, he can be proactive, but when the opposition sort of attacks him or they attack the bowlers and Sri Lanka a little bit on the back foot, he hasn't been able to sort of rally his troops and try and weather that storm. It's sort of just when it starts going badly, it all goes badly. I think in day two in Durham in the recent series in England, that was the case where England had a good partnership between Wokes and Moeen Ali, and Angelo Matthews just seemed completely at a loss as to what to do with it. I think also there's a leaning towards conservatism where he'll try and dry up the runs rather than attack by putting slips in and putting catching men around the bat, which can also go badly because batsmen coming in can settle against the bowlers. Which I mean, Sri Lankan's bowlers aren't going to blow you away. They'll have to work on you for a little bit, but the chances that do come need to be snapped up and Matthews' field placings have been a little bit under scrutiny. And I think he's feeling the pressure as a captain. The thing with Matthews is there's no one else to replace him, really. So there's no alternative to turn to. But he is definitely, I think, now feeling that pressure to lift his game as a strategic leader.
I think he's a bit like he's in the position that Ricky Ponting was when a lot of great players retired, and he's left to sort of carry this team at the moment. There's a lot of pressure on Matthews, as was Ricky Ponting.
It's a little bit different to Ricky Ponting because Ponting lost McGrath and Warne, whereas Matthews has lost two batsmen, and I don't think that his bowling stocks have been hugely apart from through injury as is the case at the moment. He hasn't really captained differently from when he had those players to now. It's just that back then he had a team. He had Kumar Sangakkara and Mahela Jayawardene towards the end of their careers were just as prolific, if not more prolific, than they had been then in the previous years. And he knew that he was going to get 400 runs out of his top order. Whereas now the batsmen are doing probably are likely to get past 300, and that exposes the bowling a little bit more. And we did see him being just as conservative and making some dodgy strategic calls even back when they were playing. So maybe he's lost a little bit of that support when it comes to thinking and field placing and strategy, which Mahela Jayawardene especially would have been able to provide. But from a personnel point of view, he hasn't actually lost as many players as it is made out.
Now, with you spoke about the weakness in the batting. I think Matthews' batting and Chandimal's batting, the wicketkeeper, is exceptional. But what backup does Chandimal and Matthews have?
There's a young batsman called Kusal Mendis who had a very good tour of the UK. Scored hasn't quite got himself to 100 yet, but he's someone who's virtually been picked out of the under-19 scene and was a Sri Lanka under-19 captain a couple of years ago. And he's had a very promising start to his international career. So he's someone they'll look to for a little bit of sparky batting from number three. He's not your regular number three who'll come in and play defensively. He sort of likes to play his shots. And then the openers, Kaushal Silva and Dimuth Karunaratne. Kaushal Silva is very much your sort of conservative opener who'll wait out the opening spells and then start accumulating, whereas Dimuth Karunaratne can play a little bit more aggressively, especially through the leg side. They'll probably be the guys that Sri Lanka look to, but they're probably... the coaches will be hoping that those two batsmen can take a step up and be a bit more consistent. They have played good innings in the past, but they haven't done so consistently enough to give Sri Lanka that real boost at the top of the order. So I think that top five, I wouldn't make changes to that top five. I think the right men, the right batsmen are in those places, and that's where a lot of the runs will have to come from.
Yeah, I think if Sri Lanka is going to compete in this series, the three big players are Harath, Matthews and Chandimal. And I think Harath has to take about 30 wickets if Sri Lanka would have a chance.
Yeah, that could be true. I think Dilruan Pereira is as an off-spinning option is also capable of having a few good days. Again, he's not going to run through a team, But if he has, if there's a bit of pressure built up from the other end, he's very, very capable of taking a handful of wickets in at least a couple of the tests. I wouldn't say Herath is a one-man spin option. I wouldn't say he's a one-pronged attack at the moment. He has been in the past, but I think in home conditions with the kind of pitches that we're expecting, I think the other spinners can definitely come into the game.
Now, Andrew, I want to get your impressions of the Australian team. Firstly, do you have any animosity with Sri Lankan great Murali Dhuran coaching the Australians for the series or advising them? Is there any animosity there from you?
I don't. I mean, personally, from me, there's definitely not. There's. I think he's completely entitled to do what he wants. And if Sri Lanka cricket had been a little bit smarter, they would have snapped him up first.
That's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Sri Lankan cricket board should have had him on in your camp for this series and not the opposition. I mean, it's the Warren Morley Trophy.
Yeah,
he's on the wrong side.
Yeah, he's on the other side.
So he's maybe, on the Warren side.
Yeah, is Warren available these days? Is Sri Lanka able to? He's in the UK, isn't he? Maybe if we make him
do a swap.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have Warren. We'll have Morley.
Yeah.
Now, what are your impressions of the Australian team with Smith and Warner as the leadership group? Now we've had a significant change since the Ashes tour. What are your impressions of the team?
It's a very interesting team. I think. It's one that I'm really looking forward to watching, mainly because I'll enjoy watching, especially Stark and Khawaja. I think are the two players I'm looking forward to watching. Both very good exponents of their skills. Khawaja, I think, probably is, along with Hashim Amla, are the most watchable batsmen in the world at the moment. So I hope he scores a few runs in the series.
Smith is another one, I have to say, that is amazing to watch in person, because when you see Smith at the ground, he's got such sort of timing and grace, and it looks like a technique that is quite complicated, but it just seems to work so well. Yeah, I think Smith's one of the best to watch as well.
I wouldn't have picked Smith because there's just so much. I mean, he's definitely not a classical batsman, is he? Because there's just so much movement going on, and he just sort of seems like he's obviously found a homespun technique that works very well for him. But I mean, he's just scored mountains of runs. But yeah, I'll have to. I don't think I might have watched him once actually at the SCG during the World Cup last year. But I look forward to watching a test innings and seeing.
Yeah, he's got amazing hands, really quick hands. So yeah, Khawaja is one you were saying you want to watch. I have doubts about him outside the off stump at the moment. He seems to be a bit loose. So I think he's one that probably needs to pull his head back. He's been scoring so freely. He seems to just be wafting at anything outside the off stump.
It may be a tour where that's not exposed. So depending on the quality of seamers that Sri Lanka can put up. So it might be. I mean, some of these players do have these issues when they go on big tours, and then they're not tested in that area, and they find the confidence to round out their game. So it could be a bit of a tour like that for Khawaja. I think it'll be interesting to see whether there'll be any needle between the teams. generally,
well, there's no Ranatunga there to amp things up.
Yeah, I thought you'd bring that up.
I was there at the SCG when Healy told him he was a fat something or other, and he called for a runner, so it had made quite an impression on me.
Good stuff. I think it's an interesting thing because everywhere else in the world, apart from England and Australia, Ranatunga is not seen as this sort of troublemaker. But these were two teams, especially the Australians. Arjuna loved to take them on, and that was his brand. That whenever he just loved riling the Australians up, and that was good fun to watch actually as a Sri Lankan fan through the 90s. Because it was just, we weren't used to Sri Lankans being quite so aggressive and in the field. I mean, in this team, you've got Warner. Surely you have to agree that he's more of an incendiary figure than Arjuna ever was.
Oh, no. Warner's calmed down. He's a family man now. He's the vice captain. He's really settled down. I would actually, the one to watch for me is if Mitchell Stark, if it gets a bit rough out there, Mitchell Stark can blow a fuse when he's bowling, and he might let a few thunderbolts down and fire a few words at the batsman afterwards. But I can't imagine there being a lot of needle. These two teams have a lot of good relations.
Yeah, they. Angelo Matthews already talking them up. They had their first press conference about a week ago, and Matthews referred to them as the mighty Aussies, and there seems to be quite a lot of respect for them and the fact that they're the number one team touring the country. So I wouldn't expect that the Sri Lankans for sure would go out there looking to verbally go at the Australians.
Now, Andrew, it sounds to me like you're quite pessimistic about the Sri Lankan chances. What is your prediction for the Test series? What's your feeling the way it's going to go? Is it going to be 3-0 Australia?
I don't think it'll be 3-0. I think that Sri Lanka should be able to manage one victory, just because Australia had this long-standing issue to spin, and because Sri Lanka have Ranganathan. So I'm expecting Ranganathan to win a Test match effectively, along with the help of Dilawar Perera. I'll probably say they have the best chance of doing that in Gaul, though the SSC can turn square when they prepare it that way as well.
I guess we didn't mention the importance of the toss, but that could play a part in this Test series. Who gets the opportunity of bowling last on these turning tracks?
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. But in Gaul, it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, once you get into that third day, it's turning square anyway. I think a lot of Gaul tests end in by the fourth day, because there's just so much spin and there's just so much happening on the pitch for the bowlers. And in terms, and Sri Lanka has been, consistently preparing result pitches across the board, and every venue in the country is a result pitch at the moment. I think something like the last 11 tests played here have all yielded results, so I think there'll be a result in every test. I am optimistically predicting maybe a 2-1 win for the Aussies. They'll probably pull through, in the series, but hopefully Sri Lanka can pull one test out of the bag.
And what about for the 5-match one-day series? What do you think? Do you think the Aussies will have the upper hand still?
I think so. I think it's not clear yet whether Tilakaratne and Dilshan will play. He took the last tour off for family reasons. So I'm not sure if he's back in the mix yet. I think that should be more closely contested. I think a few more bowlers should be fit by the time the Australian series, the one-day series begins. But it's a long way away. I'd say maybe Australians are slightly favourites at the moment, given Sri Lanka's lack of form, even in one-days. They got absolutely pasted by England. Yeah, I'd say they're slight favourites in one-days and T20s as well.
Well, Andrew, you've filled my listeners with a lot of confidence, I hope, because you're not too confident about your Sri Lankan team. So I'm expecting the Aussies to turn their subpar performances on the subcontinent around in Sri Lanka. And Australians have done really well in Sri Lanka historically. So maybe,
yeah, they've caught probably Sri Lanka in the lowest ebb, probably in the last.
Yeah, kick them while they're down. That's the Aussie way.
Yeah, it's so they've caught Sri Lanka in a very bad place. So they're a bit lucky that they scheduled their tour here. I think if they'd come a year either side, it would have been a bit dicey for them. But they've come at the right time.
So you're pulling out the excuses already. That's good before the series has started. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining me on the Australian Cricket Podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you're about to head to the warm-up game, so you've given the listeners a real insight into what's going on over there. Where can our listeners find you on Twitter?
At Andrew F. Fernando.
And I would also recommend the listeners search out for the Armchair Critics podcast. That's a very good listen about Sri Lankan cricket. Well, listeners, we lost Andrew there, but I hope you enjoyed that chat with him. And we'll be back later in the week with another show. I've got Gavin Macca lined up, and we'll focus on the Australian side, the Sri Lankan Test Series. And we've also got the anticipated commentator massacre. If you want to get in touch with us before then, we're on Twitter at Oz Cricket Pod, AUS Cricket Pod. We're also on Facebook as the Australian Cricket Podcast. You can email us at Gmail, which is Oz Cricket Pod, AUS Cricket Pod at gmail.com. Thanks as ever to our Patreon subscribers. We really appreciate your support. And thanks to all the listeners for downloading the show. And we'll be back soon.
What a marvellous stroke. He's played no better shot than that in the whole of the series.